Hello, guys, gals, and non-binary pals, and welcome to the Fifth Trooper Podcast. I'm Owen, and it looks like we got some friends today. We are joined by both Rob and Jason from Legion Terrain. Hey, guys, how's it going?
Doing Hello. Great. Good to see you.
Really good.
And, of course, I couldn't do any of this without my trusty co-pilot and chair here. We've got Isaac. Isaac, how's it going, man?
It's going well. Glad to be here, as always.
So today we're going to be talking about terrain, we're going to be talking about tables, and we'll be talking about how to put all of that together and to have a good table for you to play your Legion games, and how Rob and Jason over at Legion Terrain can help you achieve that. But first, before we dive into all of that, just want to say thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. Thanks, guys. We appreciate you doing this. If you'd like to become a Patreon subscriber, please go over to patreon.com/thefifthtrooper. Also, for those that are keeping track, this weekend I will be over at Extra Life doing a charity stream raising money for kids in hospitals. So if you would like, go over to extra-life.org/participant/OwenPatterline. Yeah, I know it's a mouthful, but it'll be linked. I will be streaming there. I will be streaming some Star Wars Episode 1 Pod Racer to appease our Star Wars fans, as well as my friends and I will also be going through all of Halo 3 ODST and several other games.
Nice.
So please stop by and either watch, donate if you can, but you're not here for all of that. You're here to talk about tables and things, so let's dive into that. Rob and Jason, guys, you are people that provide us with terrain. You sell terrain on your website. You give us this wonderful stuff that looks great, that plays well, and I think just the first thing that anybody wants to know is, how do I build a good table? When I sit down at my store, what are things that I'm going to need to think about and to set up so that way I know that I'm about to have a good play session?
Go ahead.
Okay, I'll start with one thing that I love a lot is I design, is elevation. I just, something to me about a sniper on a building or the ability to climb a tree or a platform up elevated off the table makes a game a lot more thematic, a lot more real. But it also, I feel like, especially in the new version of the rules, really gives you some cool advantages without a lot of heavy, mechanics to try to get your figures on that terrain. So we always design some stuff with elevation, but I think other things you need to have.
Line of sight blocker, for sure.
Line of sight, like a few good solid ones.
Yeah, you've got to have something. And usually you're trying to at least get two on the board if you can, so you get a little bit of symmetry where it's not just stacked on one side and whoever gets that side has the advantage, And so if you've got some line of sight, if you don't have that, you can put one in the middle, but it definitely kind of breaks it up a little bit, is a big thing. And then you're looking at different types of cover, kind of a hard and a soft cover it takes it down. It changes the game easily. Where when you're placing your terrain down and you're making it look good, it really can split it up to where you got guys can go hide for the most part. They're getting a little bit of cover.
And I just think in adding to cover, recently we released our first area terrain piece. It's a kind of a land mass with some small trees that essentially work as a template that you can use to say, hey, my guys are inside this, they're within area terrain. And I think that's a new, nice.
It's a great addition. Yeah. I was very happy they put that in.
Yeah.
To where basically your squad is in cover, just being in there. You don't got to literally be behind something. And so area terrain is huge.
And, I started, my first few designs were scatter.
Yeah.
So don't forget scatter. It just gives you some points of interest on the board. And also, a few barrels here and there turns a pretty basic board into a pretty awesome board. It makes you feel like real people live there, right?
Yeah.
You gotta have a barrel.
The another thing that we added, really just, we're just designing the table. We're huge on themes. We'll talk about themes in a little bit. We love the theme table. And we were coming up with the Hive table, and we were trying to think of some things because we don't just rocks. What else could we do? And so we were like, that goo that they shoot, let's put a big pit of that, right? That's where they go get it from. And so all of a sudden, you've got terrain that's hard to traverse through. And so it slows you down, that sort of thing. So there's, you can go through the rules and you can see the different types of stuff that's there. And honestly, the more types of stuff you have overall, the better the game is, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you want to start taking into account, and I think the tournament organizers we've worked with always do a great job of making sure that you have some firing lines, right?
Yeah.
You don't want to cluster it up so much with trees or buildings that, essentially you're just hold on, I'm going to move to you. It's going to take us 5 turns to get to where you are.
And your sniper can shoot people, it's at the right place.
You want to give that guy a shot, right? But I like to see a few good firing lanes, a couple of solid ones laterally at maybe angles, and then some lengthwise firing lanes.
But I would say the biggest thing to me about Legion, why I think it's an awesome game, we're talking about it earlier, is it doesn't have to be a set table. It's not just let's line up everything the same every time and we're going to go. I personally like the idea, especially with this new tour thing, where you can have a board that's, it does tend to go for somebody that's got a lot of vehicles, or it hurts. If you got a lot of vehicles, you're in trouble. So you've got to have a balanced army to go on to hit the different types of tables. You've got some with lots of vertical. You've got some that doesn't have as much. And so the different worlds that you could possibly see in Star Wars, you've got to have an army that can kind of go against that and can be successful on that. And so I personally like different tables. It doesn't always have to be the same. I like the diversity of it.
Yeah. And I think, the other thing you want to do is make sure you don't leave the board so wide open that essentially it's just, when we watch the movies or the shows, we're always looking and going like, that would be a cool.
Yeah.
Okay, crate. No.
No, that would be a nightmare. unless you got a bunch of vehicles and you're just shooting everybody.
We didn't design any terrain for crate.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, to be fair, Crait is also one of the worst maps in Star Wars Battlefront, so I feel like you're not the only person that ran into that problem of, like, how do we make Crait interesting? And it's like, until you get inside of that map in Battlefront, it has the same problem of just, like, it's just flat. Like, you got some trenches, but it's mainly just flat.
Yeah. Well, we kind of had the same thing with Hoth when we were looking at our ice planet table. And we came up with a kind of a clever idea of the trenches. Oh,
I like to have some right here.
Yeah, he's going
to
grab some trenches. Ooh, yeah. He's got some shape. Yeah,
the trenches are raised, right? Instead of, you can't really go down into the table. Not a lot of people would like that. But, you get a piece like this, and you set it flat, and you've got a trench where a guy can shoot over. Ooh, there we go. And so that, helps a lot. Now, the neat thing about these is you can see the little thing on the end there. It's these little clips. Points. Yeah, it's these little clips that Robert came up with that just work fantastic. And you snap these things together, over and over and over, and they fit perfect. And you could, out of this bag, right, you can build all kinds of different things, different setups. So, the actual number of things. And so that was one thing we had to do because Hoth is flat, for the most part. Other than you've got, an ion cannon, which we got back there, or laser turrets or shield generators. But for the most part, you need something that, like in the battlefield. And so we came with this raised trench idea that it simulates it pretty good.
Love trenches.
Trench fanatic. You can't beat a good trench.
I do agree with your point, though, is that you can't dig into a table. I once was doing like a Star Wars D&D session for Hoth, and what I ended up doing was building the table up so that way the trenches could exist under.
Yeah,
because you're right, like, you have to do like an entire big thing. And luckily I was doing that on a virtual software that I was able to build it, very easily and just kind of replicate that to actually have trenches. Whereas like, if you had to do that in person on an actual 3x6 foot board, like that is an insane amount of pieces of stuff you need.
Yeah, and we actually can, that. We can't send some pieces and say, all right, now get your jigsaw out and cut your table, down to this point and drop stuff in. That's not
a CNC machine. You can really
the gaming store might be semi upset when you start putting
that
their table.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
Walking in with the DeWalt.
It comes free with a DeWalt. router bit. So it fits at the perfect size.
Sponsored by Harbor Freight.
When we mention build tables, we mean putting terrain on tables, not physically getting them.
Exactly.
And some screws.
Yeah, well, it's like some of these tables, when you go to the big tournaments and big shows, Adepticon or whatever, and you see some of these things that are masterpiece tables. I mean, they are huge and gorgeous, and it took years to build and significant amount of money. We are in awe. We love looking at those things. They're awesome, but they're not for the average guy. Not going to be able to just, hey, let's just play a game and put it back up. And so we've got to think about that when we're building stuff. Yeah.
I agree wholeheartedly with you on that. It's it's the reason why tournaments feel so good is because you get to go to some of those tables and see them, and you're like, oh, this is so much fun. Like, this is such an experience to have, like, this fully themed planet and things. Even if, you know, Legion hasn't quite gotten to the amount of detail that the Lord of the Rings miniatures groups has over there, because I always see their tables and it's like pixel perfect from the movies, and I'm just like, I don't know how you have done this, but they, you know, they're bringing Helm's Deep to life, and it's like, hey, we kind of have Hoth, and you know, for me, that's close
enough.
We know
enough. It's
I'm Hoth.
Like,
we know in here.
Their stuff's looking like it literally came from the movie. Like, it was the prop in the movie, and they just set it on the table.
So they went over to Weta Workshop and said, I need that right there.
Well, the practicality of y'all's terrain is like truly a testament to like just how well it's crafted. It's in game stores everywhere. Like, a lot of the first like maps that I played on when I took the jump from like kitchen bowls on my table to like going to a game store, it's like, oh, there's the Hoth buildings, there's the Tatooine buildings. Like, so much of that stuff is like, it makes the game so much more accessible for players and for stores to stock. Like, you know, they don't have to cut their tables up. They have some cool terrain they can just crank out very easy.
Yeah, and for us, as we design, I mean, we think about a lot of factors as we design a themed table or even a single piece. One of those things is shipping, right?
Shipping
translates very well into storage. So if you can ship it in a box, you can store it on a shelf.
I got a piece right here.
Yeah.
And
So this is our table. Our temple. This is the dark ancient dark temple. This is how it's shipped and stored. Right. It is built to where you can have all these pieces inside. So this is the top, right? And then you grab some pieces out of there, and these come out, slide on the side, and so ultimately, you know, you've got this and this. And then this kind of fits on the side here. Kind of thing. You get the idea. It's a big old piece, right? But we're like, we can't ship that. That's going to cost an arm and a leg, you know? So Robert is the main designer here. And he was like, I can stack this and we can do this. And so for storage for somebody on their shelf, when this thing all fits in one little piece, it's a selling factor, you know?
Another thing that, as you're choosing terrain, and as we're designing it, we think about versatility. Grab those two corner pieces you got in your hand there, Jason.
Oh, right here? Oh, yeah.
With this same set, you know, it's three major pieces.
Yeah.
So if you wanted to have another pylon, just a small pylon out there, you know, you can take that one piece and turn it into three separate small temples without a lot of effort, or spread these apart.
You can run these little pieces in between.
And I happen to know somebody who saw the movie where there's a temple that seems to float. And you can actually spread these out and put our temple up in the air with these underneath the main section. So, you know, it's like a very versatile piece. So versatility is another thing we try to design for. You know, sometimes a piece is just a piece.
Yeah.
You can't turn a hut into something else.
Yeah, a farmer's hut is a farmer's hut.
True.
But when you can get a big piece like this that you're going to pay a little bit for, you won't, where you can set up five or six different ways and it all packs down, and, you know, the better offer that, I mean, at the end of the day, we're gamers. This is why we did this. We started this whole thing because we saw that Star Wars Legion was coming out, and we were like, I want that game.
Yeah.
We used to play 40K back in the day. We want to play this, the old days. And so we were like, okay, we've got to build our own train. I just got my first 3D printer. Actually, I'm a teacher, so I got it at school. And I was like, hey, I got to learn how to use this. We can just print some cool stuff. So we started printing this stuff for our game. Like, it was literally, we had nothing in mind like that at all. And so this is our game. We're going to sell it, right? I mean, and we're not going to sell it. We're going to play it ourselves. And then all of a sudden, we built the first piece and was like,
hey,
that was pretty cool.
Maybe we can pay for our filament.
That's what we thought. We think the game's like $200, right? We're going to spend. And so we need to get it or our wives will kill us. And so we said, we'll sell it, you know, and we put it on eBay just to say, hey, would anybody on eBay buy this? And it was like, they will.
The answer was yes, they will.
Yeah. So we start selling it on eBay, right? And it's like, man, everybody keeps buying this as soon as we put it on. So let's try Etsy. And then Shopify, we built our own website. Now it's on Amazon. And it just kept going and going and going. But it was because we built it for us. And we built every table for us. And most people like what we do. So
we occasionally build a piece with somebody else in mind. You know, where is she at? I'm looking for, over there on the snow hill.
Love the coolest background.
You know, we have families. We have families, and they sometimes get involved. You know, you get a little stuck in a design process, and they jump in and go, "What if you did this?" I was like, I need something tall. So the POIs, points of interest, right? Mm-hmm. When we read the rules, they're like, you know, they should be 2 inches around, 3 inches tall. And a lot of POI stuff that we saw out there was, you know, it's cool. But you have to template it and say it's 3 inches tall and you can't shoot through it and that sort of stuff. We said, let's just make it 3 inches tall so our stuff is taller. Well, we got stuck and couldn't think of things to make. And so somebody thought it would be cool.
What does that look like to you?
It looks like an outhouse.
Yeah.
But an imperial one.
An imperial loo. The imperial loo. It would be the technical term for that. And so, yeah, it was like, hey, they got to go to the bathroom at some point.
Somewhere.
It's not like they don't have one.
Right.
So that's how that would get.
That's character. With. That's heart and soul in your voice right there.
Yeah.
We care about our troopers.
Go outside.
The idea of a shifting porta potty is pretty hilarious. The shifting priorities, the porta potty moving around all of them.
I feel bad for the stormtrooper inside while it's shifting. It's like, huh? I feel like, as you guys pointed out in that, and the things that I would like to make sure that our audience is bringing home is the value and the versatility that you are offering with your terrain. Because that is something that, when I first started talking to you guys, it shook, like, that I didn't quite understand. And I was like, oh, this is ingenious, because I don't have a lot of pieces for my own table or anything like that. I have a couple, but those were things that I just kind of got from other people. That wasn't a thing that I went out to do. And I haven't really looked at terrain, because I was like, well, you know, I have to figure out what kind of terrain I need for the table, and then I have to buy it, and, like, it seems like it's so much money to just buy one thing. But you're not buying one thing. You're buying one thing that can be eight things.
Right.
As you just showed us, right, like, A, it packs well, not just for shipping, but for also making sure you're not taking up your entire closet space when, you know, everyone's got their giant tub of terrain.
Right.
And so it fits into that tub a lot better, so you can have a smaller tub, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
I'm in a very small house, so being able to do that is fantastic. And having the versatility of it, I think, is absolutely ingenious, because then you're able to take those pieces and you can have a big thing, a small thing. You can, as you started and you mentioned the things that you need for a table, sightlines, LOS blockers, you know, area terrain, all of these things that people should look for when they're building their tables at their stores, these are things that you can use, and it could fill multiple of those checkboxes.
Yes.
At the table. And I think that's absolutely invaluable, because maybe you have something that you found that works really well as your height, and so then the next thing that you need is like, well, you know, let me buy this temple, and you're not going to use it as height. You're going to use it as multiple smaller temples, so that way you have more LOS blockers going through it. And so I think that's just a very smart thing to do in the design process. And I have to question of just like, other than the necessity, as you said, of like shipping it, how do you design to the point that you use it in multiple ways? Like, how does that get in there?
Well, I'm going to pull down our big piece here in a minute. We this is our most recent release. You know, printers are limited, right? They're a certain size. So, you know, out of necessity, we're only going to print a part so big. You know, I'm sure there are printers that can probably print a room, but nobody's going to want to buy that. So it starts with printing, right? Like, I'm going to design something that I know I can print, and I want it to print and look as beautiful as I can. You know, there are things that you learn as you get this print or that print that you go, well, those angles are too low. It's going to look like stair steps. And so you have to figure out how to overcome those things. I think when I'm thinking about printing, I'm also thinking about usability. This piece, would you get the U-wing down?
Yeah.
Please. Or the U-ring was the piece that I was hoping that you would demonstrate all of this with.
Yeah.
So, cool.
So, you know, when we design a ship, we have to design the whole ship, but we don't like to sell the whole ship. You know, so this is a crashed spy ship.
Yep.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink.
Yep.
Crash by ship. It is the widest piece of terrain that we sell. It like almost doesn't fit on the screen, you know, when it's fully assembled.
So cool.
But the first version of this wing just sort of stuck up, right? It was just a straight wing. It looked beautiful. I'll just say, and so easy.
How about this? We discussed that wing for weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, we literally went through different iterations. How are we going to do it? What's it, should it look like? And Robert does most of, if not all of the CAD work and does everything. But if I get stuck on something, or and he's on the other side of the coin, we have to like hash it out and say, "This is what it should look like this because of this," and he's, "No, it should look like this because of this." And so it takes a little while to get that win. Yeah.
There are a lot of parts of this that made it into the trash at my house. So we designed it, printed it, and went, "Wow, it won't stand up. It literally falls over." So, you know, there's multiples of these that were thrown away before we got one that's like, that works on the table. But in looking at it, we start to go like, you know, that wing's kind of useless. It just sticks up in the air. We got to make that wing useful. Yeah. So let's make it where some dudes can stand on it, right? And I love, you know, I said elevation. So I made this thing. I think it's a little bit over height one, right? At that. And so you can post your guys on there. I don't have any guys close by, but I'll just pick up this POI and show you that they'll stand up snugly on there. But then I was like, well, that's not super useful. So I said, what if I make it where the wing comes off? And then you have a giant barricade. Yeah, Jason will hold that. You got a giant barricade you can put on the table. And then I was like, that's too big to print on the printer. So what if I make it come apart? Now I've got two big barricades I can put on the table, so my wreckage is now spread out. My son is a gamer. He loves video games, and he's like, "Dad, you can't sell that piece with just two or three pieces. That's boring." He goes, "You need to make this wreckage worse in the back, and something should come off." So we make it where another piece comes off, and now you've got a crashed fuselage, an engine component that can act as a, you know, some sort of objective, two pieces of wing that can go back together. And, you know, so, and guess what? It makes it easier to ship.
Yeah. At the end of the day, we're saving money.
Right. So, you know, and you guys are like, wow, you made a 4-part ship. Congratulations. This is a 24-piece assembly.
Yeah.
So our paint team has to build these things before they can paint them so that they look right. But, yeah, it's a big assembly. And the reason it's that much of an assembly is because we want it to look great. You know, 3D printing has some parts that sometimes you
limitations,
print something at a print something at the wrong angle. Yep. It doesn't look so lovely. So the wings suffered from that, and the wings are actually made up of, I think, 8 or 9 parts just for the wings so that they look right. So anyways, we designed for versatility because we're both engineers.
Yeah. Well, and at the end of the day, our first few pieces were, how can we save people money? I mean, honestly, we were like, how we know what it's like to go buy all this stuff. We want to make it worthwhile to start with. And so it's, you know, make it versatile where I can take it apart and have multiple pieces, a different game every time. But then, like, one of the first things we did probably in the first 3 or 4 months was we came up with a pipe system, okay? And we were like, you know, PVC works really well, okay? And so we were like, why don't we make it to where somebody, if they need to make more of their own pipe, they just go cut some PVC and paint it, you know, a certain, you know, that gray color, and we'll tell them what color to paint it. And so now we've got these kind of fancy pipes, but still 2-inch PVC fits on this thing. You know, take it apart here, right? These just pop out, you know, little elbows, but you can put a piece of PVC, so you can build any system you wanted as long as you had these little, you know, clips like we've kind of got there. And of course these come apart too and do all kinds of things. But we did that with the mind of, hey, let's just try to save some people that don't have money. They can build a cool pipe system. All they need is just a couple of little things like this. They can go buy their own pipe if they want to, or they can buy ours, and it saves them some money. So that's really where it kind of started.
Right, and it has cool sci-fi connections instead of Home Depot.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, we tried that, didn't we? We tried turning a regular PVC elbow into something cool. That's really hard to do.
Looks like a PVC elbow.
Yeah, it still looks like
it. No matter how you paint it. Yeah. So...
what is the design process like? How do you see something? I know that you said that you see stuff in the media, and then you go, that would make a cool terrain. So how does it go from like, oh, that looks cool, to selling it to people and they're testing it on the table and everything?
Okay, I won't talk with Robert here for a second. It usually comes about as I go, that would be so cool. We've got to do that. Robert's like, there's no way we can do that. That wouldn't work. And I'm like, I believe in you, Robert. You can do it. You know,
you can do it.
Because I'm telling you, I see this stuff and just everything. That's the coolest thing. I'd love to see that on the table, blah, blah, blah. And so then Robert and I work together. And a lot of times it comes to fruition because he's really clever. I'll say that.
Yeah. And you know, I mentioned earlier, we're both engineers. And you probably are thinking like, oh, well, they do this kind of design work before this. I am an IT systems engineer. I do not do CAD work in my real life. So this was a skill I had to develop. And in fact, Jason was talking about our early days. So I'll get you back to your, he was talking about our early days, and he said, we know we want to make some cool crash things. And I'm like, I don't know how to design anything, but there's some free software out there online, and I'll just see if I can chop something. And so I found a TIE Fighter model, and I was like, I'm going to kind of make it my own and remix it. And this was that first piece that we sold on eBay. There's probably only four or five of these in existence. And it's dreadful.
It's really bad.
So just for contrast's sake, this is a component of one of our best-selling pieces, right, that I designed later with, you know, this thing sells like toothpaste on Amazon, right?
Yeah,
I mean, everybody needs this guy. It comes with a nice long side wing that makes a great barricade. But this was the first one.
Yeah, look at the thickness on that wing, man.
It doesn't even like have all of its array on there.
We have that one at our store. I love that thing.
Oh man, yeah, it is.
It's the Model T TIE Fighter, pretty much.
It's a classic. It's a classic. So I had to learn to do real design in order to build stuff that didn't. I didn't want to use just a remix.
Right. We wanted our own stuff. We make our own stuff, design our own stuff. There's no.
But so how do we get from idea, you know? So I think you're right. We sort of go, is there another planet we need to tackle?
Yeah.
You know, that's a big. Or do we need to take one of our existing planets and give it a little more juice?
Yep.
One of the good examples of that sold and sells really well is the Desert Gate.
Yeah. Right?
A big piece of multi-level terrain, an add-on. Right.
We had a great desert table that was really kind of the first ones. Everybody was buying it and still do. But then I was like, they need something.
Yeah, it's just too short. Everything was boop, boop, boop.
Yeah.
Little bowls turned upside down.
Yeah.
So we added on because we saw a gap, right? So as we think about those table design things and go back and look at what we've done and edit, right? We say, you know, it's time to add here. This needs a little more. And that needs a little something taller. Or we need some more, you know, scatter for the forest.
Yeah.
I need to talk to you about scatter for the forest.
Yeah.
But,
Sure, man.
Pretty much he's seen something.
So, you know, then we start that process of trying to draw it. And usually the first drawing and the first print is just a feasibility print.
Yeah.
We go, all right, I'm gonna rough this thing out. So like I said, we throw some stuff away, we print some pieces and go, whoa, that is gonna come out ugly if we leave it at this angle. We have got to turn this thing sideways. So now I start thinking about as I decorate, you know, a final design. So we'll do the rough shape, we'll do the final design, we do all the decorations on it. I'm going to make sure those decorations print well. So now my design has to take print direction into account. And then it's print and test and adjust and deal with tolerances. And because, like I said, when you've got 24 pieces that go together, most of our stuff isn't that complex.
Right.
But some of these monster prints, they are that way. So when you have that many pieces that go together, you got to make sure that it's going to work. And that means waste, right? So we sometimes think about, like, should we have, like, a sale on the stuff that we throw away?
We have, like, a honestly bins of old terrain that did not make the cut. And somebody's looking a little interested on there.
bins, you say?
But we were like, the thing we're kind of like, I mean, we overall, we have given some of it away. But for the most part, like, I don't know if I want that out there with our name on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's really bad. You know, somebody picks that up, you know, and picks it up in a game store and is like, I don't want anything for that. That's horrible. You know, so.
Yeah. Those guys are clowns. So, there's a big testing phase. And then we start out with, you know, we've got our first prints. And so now I have to hand it over to our principal photographer.
Oh, yeah.
And that's you.
Yeah.
And Jason brings in the mother of all light kits.
Yeah.
And we work with different community providers for mats. Sometimes we'll actually take a mat. So you talk about, like, you know, what are we going to design? We look at a mat and go, what could we design that makes this mat more awesome?
Yeah.
Or sometimes we look at a mat and go, ooh, so that's the color scheme we need to paint with.
Yeah. The Ancient Art Temple, we did that. With Renaissance, that was actually the old Fifth Trooper a long time ago. Y'all had a mat.
Old mat that Fifth Trooper used to sell.
Yeah.
That we designed some of our paint scheme for. Honestly, even the new Tropical Planet stuff, we looked at a mat from Cray. I Magic.
I don't know. I forget. I don't know. It's anyway,
a mat company.
Yeah. And it was really nice. But honestly, that came about because we did a poll of like, what next board would you like to see? And it came back. I mean, huge. We need a Scarif table, and we were like, and that's where. You know, it was like, how in the world are we going to make palm trees? You can't print palm trees.
You can't print palm trees.
And so after...
Trees are rough.
After doing a lot of thinking and, I don't know, praying.
And we
it's like, one day it hit me. I'm like, hey, if we use it, we're not going to tell you. This type of filament, let's say, we could make this and it would work. And so... Robert was like, no, it won't. And then so we printed it. And then the leaves looked like leaves. And they were flexible. And it all worked. But then we made it to look like a tree. And that's a whole different thing. And Robert was really clever on how he made the leaves all work.
Yeah. Yeah. So the leaves are another snap together system. One downside of 3D printing is because it's multiple layers, it tends to get a little brittle if you make things very, very small. And you're printing vertically. So we had to make these trees kind of significant, you know, like relative to...
They're Scarif trees.
Yeah, they are. These are imperial trees. They are very, very well cared for.
Pansy trees on our table.
So, you know, we had to make these nice and chunky. But we wanted to do something for the area terrain. And in that scenario, we worked on... I don't have any examples of it with me, but... We worked on building an area terrain piece, this is our first non-3D printed thing that we're selling.
Yeah. We looked at it and we were like, you know what? The easiest thing to do is to go get these smaller trees. They're nowhere close to that size. Smaller trees, and we can purchase those. We can paint those. And then we made the base to where it's easily pop these little things in, and you've got a nice little piece of area terrain.
Yeah. So we're always solving problems, right? You know, like I said, sometimes the problems are practical, like how big is it going to be?
Yeah.
Sometimes the problems are, can I get more out of this piece that I'm designing so that it's not just a big static monster on the table that you use the same way every time?
Yeah.
But most of all, we just want it to be fun and immersive, right? We really want people to go, I'm in that world.
Well, that's like the ion cannon. I mean, the ion cannon, it's an ion cannon. You know, you're not going to take it apart. You know, and so we were like, how big is the ion cannon? And then you look at the scale. Okay, it would take up the room that the table is in order to be at the right scale. And so I was like, all right. So we said, you know what, we're going to sacrifice. I think we can say it on our website. We sacrifice scale for playability, you know, and we made this big,
huge practical
ion cannon, you know, that looks cool. Everybody knows what it is. And I think everybody's fine with, okay, it doesn't have to be that big.
Yeah. So because if we made it that big.
Yeah, because we made it that big.
It'd be incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
It'd be a nightmare.
To yeah.
Car payment type stuff.
What is... Because you mentioned this before of how you know it's not Scarif, it's Tropical Planet. What's like the hardest like naming convention that you had to really like figure out how to say something without saying it directly?
When we were selling on Etsy, and I was like, this is going to go big. We're going to do this. I sat down and I literally read through all the IP. For LucasArts and Lucasfilm. I mean, I read through all of it because I wanted to make sure we are not about trying to overdo or oversell anything like that at all. We want to be as far away from that as we can. And so we literally read through all the words that they have, which were amazing, and everything that they have so we could stay away. That's why we crash our ships, because we don't want to have a full ship where they're selling other stuff that you may could use for your table, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a full ship. And so that's why we crash them. It's kind of an art derivative is what it technically is. And so that's really kind of, we studied it for, Sunday afternoons for many, many months of reading through all this stuff so we didn't get close to infringing on what they have. Now, as far as the actual renaming, it's easy. I mean, Rebel and Spy and that sort of thing. But
I was seven when I saw Star Wars.
Yeah.
And I know exactly what an X-Wing is.
Yeah.
I used to draw them, and we would have little battles on notebook paper.
Oh, with the pencil.
You'd draw an
yeah.
X and like an H, and it was TIE Fighters and X-Wings, and you would put a pencil down and you'd flick it, and wherever the lead hit, mm-hmm. you blew up that many TIE Fighters, yeah. or you blew up that many X-Wings. And so, well, it was kind of like Armada.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the sixth grade in the 80s. So I know exactly what an X-Wing is. And so for me, that was probably, and that was one of the first pills we had to swallow, was that's the Rebel fighter. And so, you know, yeah.
Yeah, we'll concede that.
Yeah. And so, you know, and we certainly use Star Wars names with care. As we've talked here about scenes that we've seen in the movie, we can't recreate Scarif.
Right.
You know,
and, not on the table. It wouldn't make sense.
And, you know, one of the things we're noticing, especially as we move into new markets, is there are other games that have palm trees in them.
Yeah.
You know, people like hills. they have hills on every planet.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Except Crait.
just a trench.
Man-made hills. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, so, you know, a lot of it, if you look at it, you know, tropical planet, ice planet, you know, I mean, desert planet, we're not just knocking it out with these awesome terms. We do, for some things that are not like our tree system, it's the MZ tree system. And that's an African word. We'll do some research and we'll look at, hey, we want to try to make this in this type of dialect or this type of whatever. And we'll go and we'll do a lot of research on, like, what is the word for tree? What is the word for this? What is the word for that? And we would go through a lot of different words, like the Renaissance. Our buildings are the Ciccio building, which is Fat Boy. And it's a big round building, you know. And
the Otto.
Because it's
an eight-sided
building. And so we try to go with kind of naming what it is with clever names, mm-hmm. but sometimes you just got to say it's a nice planet.
Yeah, it's a nice planet.
That's all you can do.
I just love the Etsy naming conventions of anything Star Wars related, like whether it's Legion Terrain or if it's, you know, the Darkfire, like when people are doing like the models as well. It's always just so funny when you're just like, ah, yes, this is Snow Princess, because you can't say Leia, so it's just like, this is Snow Princess.
But that is because they've got it
yeah.
protected. I mean, it's like, down. Yeah, what was the big one when they came out with the phone? Droid.
Oh, yeah.
Droid. When that phone came out, and it would say droid whenever you turn it on or whatever, they had to pay Lucasfilm money every time that thing happened because they own the word droid.
That is fascinating.
Yes.
Because that's not where the word droid comes from.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If you've got the rights to it, you know.
Yeah.
You've got the rights.
They have the droids they were looking for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Because
yeah.
Android comes from Czechia, like the language of the Czech language has Android. That is where it's first coined from.
Yeah.
Is I think there's like a play or something that someone did decades upon hundreds of years ago that had something like that. So that is fascinating to me that they have the IP of Droid.
Yeah.
But maybe that's just because it's just different enough from Android that it's like, okay.
I mean, I don't know how you get that. I don't even know how you get that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just money.
It's not a word.
But yeah.
Well, I mean, like, to be fair, it's also just a very interesting thing of what people can get in copyright. Like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nintendo of America just copyrighted summoning monsters. And I was like, we've been summoning monsters in games since, like, the 70s. Like,
yeah. I mean, we just got to be clever enough to do it, I guess, yeah. and have the money to do it. But so yeah, we try hard to stay away from what we need to stay away from, and you know, and try to be clever at times.
Now I know that you guys have told me this story offline, and I would like you to share it here with our viewers. That you are rightfully playing in a space where you're trying to let's say playfully not quite copy the things that you're seeing in the Star Wars universe, and bringing them into a 3D model. But you guys have mentioned before that there's been a couple of things that you have made into 3D models that have somehow found their way into the Star Wars universe.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, listen, was it from our stuff? We don't know.
Maybe.
But I'm telling you, I don't know if you look at the pictures because we talked about it before, and I see mm-hmm. some pictures.
And I will put
okay.
them right here yeah, for people to see in
you
this video
the
back
side.
Yeah, the juxtaposition.
We're literally we're literally sitting watching, and this one was Tales of the Jedi with Ahsoka's story, And it's the last one near the end, and they're walking on this field, and all of a sudden you see this big crashed LAT, right? This big gunship down. And it, other than it being hollowed out some,
the wing is
exactly like ours. I mean, yeah, it's the same setup, the same orientation, the same body, everything.
The remnants of it.
Right, everything. It was like, that's our ship. That's ours, like, you know? And they knocked some out of it. They made big holes in it. But we were like, there's no way, because that thing had been out for a couple of years, you know? And so we were like, that is ours. They saw that, said, hey, that looks pretty cool.
They were searching for crashed gunship. Yeah. On, and one of our Etsy pages came up or something like that. And they're like, that's solid.
And so and we were pretty sure about that one. And the other one was a little bit of a derivative, but we both freaked out. We were watching, it was The Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And
we had a piece, and I had photographed it, and, you know, I had it on my kitchen floor. And I was like, I love this piece. This piece makes me so excited. And it was kind of based off our
it's the sanctum.
Our sanctum,
yeah.
With the standing stones or the standing columns on our dark sanctum.
Basically, he took our ancient dark sanctum, and we were talking about doing a jungle theme. And we said, what would happen if we painted up kind of like the jungle? It was in the middle of the jungle. And so he went and kind of painted up, changed it just a little bit. And man, it was the spitting image of that thing.
Yeah, on one of the Mandalorian episodes,
where Grogu goes and sits in the middle, and they call Luke in.
There's like a ball in the center. We didn't design the ball. We didn't have that. But the stones, the way they were oriented around it, I was like, oh my gosh! I think we called each other on the phone at the same, you know, like one of those colliding calls as that show was coming out. So yeah, there's been a couple of instances where we feel like, you know, I mean, we're inspired by the movies, absolutely. So maybe sometimes we inspire them too.
Yeah, yeah.
What's up?
That's what we're believing anyway.
Yeah.
So.
Just really cool.
I believe you guys, right? Like, I know artists in various different industries, and a lot of them will go and look at fan stuff that is created as references, and then they go, you know, that's a good idea. Like, let's bring that into, like, the actual canon of our things. And so they do that, but they, you know, they go through permissions and whatnot.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
but it is a very interesting thing to see, like, when you're working your artwork and other people are kind of doing the same thing back, bouncing off you, and then you're like, oh, hey, like, we see each other. Like,
we were happy. I'll say that. We were very happy.
Yeah. Man, I did feel a little bit like, hey, we see you. You know, there was just a moment of, they put it in a whole animated series. They probably made this sometime.
There was also a little bit of panic. Just a little bit. Like, oh, shoot, they saw us.
It's over.
Yeah, you know, we didn't mention it here, but I would like to bring up how, I found it so interesting the last time that we spoke, you guys mentioned how you try very hard not to build what AMG is already doing, you kind of like go and you went to this place where they're not at, so that way you could flourish in that spot. And I think that's very true and so helpful from a gamer's perspective, from a fan's perspective of Legion, of how you know, AMG has a couple of terrain pieces, but they don't have the terrain pieces that you guys do,
right?
And your terrain stuff is, I mean, I'll just say far better than the stuff I could buy from AMG, because I can use it in so many different ways that it's just like, it's such a fascinating thing of how, like, it plays so nicely with them, but it doesn't hurt them, right? And I think that's such a cool place to be.
It's such a cornerstone of, like, community building. Like, the tables are the big billboard that pulls a player to look at the army in the first place. Like, we can paint our models beautifully, and there's lots of stuff that you can do with that, but, like, what brings people in when they're walking through the game room is the table. It's like it's such a big community builder. Just having that terrain on the table.
Yeah.
I think but you guys are right. We when we started, we said, look, we are not going to try to draw a new stormtrooper, right?
Yeah.
They've got it. You know, like that is the health of the game depends on the sale of those models.
Right.
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, if those things aren't selling, AMG's not going to make. Right. You know, that's just the way, it's a company. They don't do it because they think we're cute.
We didn't want to be basically parasitic, right? We didn't want to make our, you know, the money that we're making, which honestly, that's not really what we're doing it for to begin with. Anything that we're doing, we're not trying to make it worse and make them hurt. We're trying to make, we love this game.
Yeah.
We want this game to succeed. We want to be as big as everything. And so that's why we stayed away. It's like, we don't want to inflict damage on them. We want to make it cool. We want it to be where they're like, and we were actually told at one point, we had a friend that used to run, I think he still runs LVO, and he said he had talked to some AMG people, and they knew who we were. And overall, they said they like that we're trying to make the game better and bigger. And that's what we're trying to do. You know, we're not trying to inflict. Like, for instance, one of them was the crashed AT-ST.
Yeah.
We had that going. We were kind of in the process of that, of getting it going. We were going to come out with it. And then we saw that they were going to do it. We're like, all right, we're done. We're not doing anything else, anything close to that. Because we want them to make their money so they'll keep making the game, you know. Yeah. We don't want to shut it down.
No. Well, yeah, we want to, you know, feed the system with good terrain and, A, offer it painted so that a player who needs a table next weekend can get it.
Or just doesn't like to paint or good at painting. That's me. So
yeah, I will say, as somebody who's painting so many Wookiees right now, I love the idea of having terrain that I don't have to paint and it just comes in a box and it's ready to go. I was like, this sounds awesome to me.
But yeah, I think that's our motive there, is we are doing this for the game because we want the game. We love the universe first, because that's what got us into the game.
Yeah.
But we love the game and we love seeing it played. We've been to a few tournaments and walking around looking at tables, whether they're ours or not, especially when it's something that somebody's handmade. You know, I mean, that was my first pieces, right? Yeah. My first designs were handmade. And when I see a handmade piece that's like epic, I mean, it's moving to see somebody create art and to know that that's one of a kind, you know, it's pretty exciting. So yeah.
Is there, you mentioned the pipe system. Are there other ways that somebody at home could kind of like start building their tables for relative cheapness, or to like kind of like do some things at home that they can get some of the things that you were talking about?
We were masters of that many years ago. Yeah. We were when I was in college, I would actually just take some foam core board and cut out Gothic windows and a little three-piece, you know, floor and two walls, and glue it together and paint it and take it to the local game store and sell it. I mean, that is, when I was in college, that's how I'd make extra money. And so, yeah, it's really not as hard as you'd think to do. The trick is making it durable. That gets to be the problem. Is I get my cardboard tube, you know, and I add some little pieces to it, like greebles or whatever, and I make it look like a neat, you know, building or whatever. But it's going to be destroyed in no time.
Yeah, the time you accidentally put your game box down on it, it's still a paper tube, you know. But, I one piece of terrain or something that I think you can get and make layers really, really easily, go to your hardware store and get the thickest piece. Probably it's going to be a 1-inch 2x2 square of what's it called? Small cell insulating foam. It's going to be either a pink or a blue sheet. And you get your big cutting knife out. And if you've got a heat knife, that's even better. But you can get away with a razor and you just hack away and do it in your garage because you're going to make a huge mess. But, you know, and so you make these little elevated platforms, and then they're you can distribute them around. You just paint them up. You can apply one miracle piece of, or not piece, but one substance everybody needs to know about for everything in your life. This is the Windex of gaming. You ready?
Flocking?
No, it's not even flocking. It is acrylic latex caulk.
Oh, yeah.
It is this gooey substance that you can put on and it's made from, I was going to say
this. It's like Mod Podge? Or is it different?
No, it's caulk.
It's like, what you would caulk your windows with.
Yeah.
But it
never fully hardens. It's always going to have a little bit of give to it. And so
this is the texture. When you look at this thing really close, right, you can see texture on it. And that's what this texture is.
Put it on with a glove, tap it on there, and you know, it'll my father-in-law says mud washes over a multitude of sins.
Yeah.
If you've got a 3D print, it's a little bit on the, you know, like, well, that didn't, if you're printing at home and one of your prints doesn't come out perfect, acrylic latex caulk, it adheses well. It's made out of the same stuff the paint is, and you can even mix it with paint to get a base color. But it
does great. It feels like stucco or, you know, I mean, it really has texture to it, and it's just caulk, and then you paint it.
Yeah.
So,
And it's genius.
You know, unless your surface is super slick and it's because it will peel off. So test it before you build a 17-hour piece.
Yeah.
You know, but try it out. The stuff, I love it. It doesn't smell bad. It doesn't, you know. And
washes up really easy.
Yeah, washes. If you get it on your skin, it's not like super glue or anything like that. You can basically just do that and it'll come off. I love that stuff. We use it in texturing our painted desert stuff because we want it to look like stucco and we don't want to print it like stucco. So if you buy an unpainted piece from us, you will not get the stucco texture. You will stucco it yourself.
Yep.
And
now you know how at home you use the caulk.
If you go to the store, it's usually called, it's called Alex. So when you go in the caulk aisle, you look for Alex.
Alex, okay.
Acrylic latex.
And I'll tell you to get the 25-year stuff because it dries a little slower, and you're gonna want that. Here's a freshly Alexed piece of gray plastic from one of my painters. So this is the plastic, but here is the here's the texture actually applied.
Yeah, that looks so nice.
Now basically all the white essentially on that is the big piece. You know, you can see.
Yeah, so that is
Then we'll paint that on top of it, right? The tan and burnt colors and things.
Yep.
So I wish I knew this a month ago. I mean, it would have been so much cooler with that stuff.
Nice. I mean, I've seen people also use like Gorilla Glue or just basic glue and paper towels. You know, again, that kind of has that like crush
glue.
Effect.
Yeah.
Elmer's glue, paper towels kind of can get a little bit crushy, but, you know. And if in the world of 3D printing, if you ever print something and you're like, oh man, that went sideways. you know, there's a puncture wound in this thing that I didn't want. Baking soda and super glue. You got to be careful with that one, but you can fill in a little bit with baking soda and put a drop of super glue on it. It hardens to essentially it's an epoxy. And you just keep adding to it, and then you can sand it down. So baking soda and super glue.
See, I thought you were going to say, here's another one, another really quick, dirty how to do this, right?
All this stuff.
is like he was saying, you can get that that Dow blue foam or the pink foam or whatever. And honestly, the easiest thing to do is just, my older brother, he was the master at making game terrain.
Taught me.
I mean, he taught both of us, and he was still amazing at it. It looks like it's real. But he would take this Dow blue foam or the pink foam and he would cut it up with a heat knife or something like that. Even a little sawzall sometimes, a little jigsaw. And you can make a nice little hill, right? Kind of slope it a little bit, make it look like that. But then it's putting the flocking all over it that makes it really look good. And we make our own flocking, okay? Instead of buying it, it's expensive. It's crazy expensive. I don't know why it's crazy expensive. So we said, listen, we got to make our own flocking. We can't. And so Robert's, all right, I've seen this video. I'm going to try blah, blah, blah. And now you just take some basic wood shavings, essentially.
Sawdust.
And you color it up.
Yeah.
And you've got wonderful flocking. It looks like grass. It looks like leaves. It looks like whatever you want it to look like.
Yeah.
And you know, glue it on the heel, do some spray glue or whatever. And it's Isaac, wonderful.
I saw the question. How am I going to paint individual pieces of sawdust? So what you want to do is buy cheap craft paint. Get your favorite colors of whatever. And get a few mixes. Because nothing's one color. That's our primary rule for our painters.
Nothing we paint is one color.
And so you want to get a few different colors. And set aside some sawdust. Whatever density of sawdust you want. And you're going to... you're going to take and just squeeze the paint into the sawdust. You're going to mix the paint with, like if you have one bottle of paint, you're going to mix it to about two bottles of water. And so it's going to be really soupy, really, really soupy. But the pigment is loaded out still. And then you're going to hand stir and knead your sawdust. But you're going to want gloves for that action. So put on some latex or your favorite other silicone gloves, whatever you got.
It's a cheap way to build really nice hills. And if you've got some hills out there, it really starts livening up everything. You can make them a little taller, so you got some, you know, something to hide behind really tall if you want some, you know, big line of sight blockers. And the foam's relatively cheap, and you can cut it with a knife.
One inch or half inch foam sheets are pretty great for that because most games, at least in the U.S., recognize an inch as a unit of height in some way. So you'll know, well, I've got a sheet of foam that's an inch thick, so... You know, if I put two of them, I'm 2 inches thick. How do you glue?
Get that piece back there. That's going to show a little bit. And then you could cut, you know, multiple pieces and stack them on top of each other and kind of make it a hill. Here's our actual hills that we sell, right? These are 3D printed. Mm-hmm. But you can easily see, if this was just a piece of foam, right, I'd have one level, then another level, then another level, right? And then
I've seen on tables before that exact thing.
Yeah, and it's you could paint it, you know, with, you know, some, this has probably got three different colors of paint on the rock kind of formation. And then the top, you can see the flocking that we put on it. But this is 3D printed, so yes, it is going to last a long time. And you don't have to worry about it and everything else. But if you're, you know, like, listen, I don't have a ton of money, I can't buy this stuff right now, go get some foam, make your own flocking, and it's a little bit of craft paint.
Yeah, and you can you can do anything from using a long razor blade to cut into there to make your, or you know, because it is foam, another way to texture it is get a pair of needle nose pliers and just pluck. Right.
Yep.
So your hands will be tired, but your board will thank you. So that's a couple of good ways to build a.
And there's so many YouTubes out there, so many things. Some, yeah. There's some incredible people that make this stuff, you know, to teach you how to do it. And they do a wonderful job. But that would be our two little secrets right there.
Hey, those are...
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. I needed
those are fantastic secrets.
My phone
the people that are trying to be more DIY and are trying to not buy things, well, thank you so much for your tips, because those are great. For people that do have a little bit of money to spend and are impressed with your products, let's roll out your red carpet here. Like, please plug away, because I know you mentioned that Black Friday is in a couple weeks here and the holidays are coming around, so... Hey, if you need something for your loved one that plays a lot of Star Wars Legion, mayhaps going to Legion Terrain is exactly the thing that you can do.
Think so, for sure. Yeah.
Perchance. should you need.
Yeah, we have basically two big sales a year. So every once in a while we do a flash sale, but for the most part we have it on Black Friday, and we have it on May the 4th. The Black Friday sale is always our biggest. And it sometimes we kind of structure it different ways, different years. Sometimes it may last a couple of weeks. We try to always put our tables on sale first, so that everything that goes into a table doesn't get bought, so the table itself can't get bought, if that makes sense, right? And so we'll put that on pretty maybe 2 weeks before actual Black Friday, and then it'll roll into everything will go on sale. Usually we're looking at between 10% and 20%. We haven't looked at it this year exactly what we're going to do. But you know, that's coming up really, really soon. And if you're trying to save some money, if my wife was going to buy this, she would have no clue what I want unless I told her exactly. We do offer gift cards.
Yeah.
And so people, we've around the holidays, they'll start going through the roof. People get the gift cards, then they can go in and buy things. So.
Yep. And it's legionterrain.com. Well, we do have an Etsy store and we do sell on Amazon. Those marketplaces are, and I would encourage you, if you find
they
something...
They take their own cut, and we would like to support just you, not you and Bezos.
Yes.
So.
Yeah, that guy, he's doing fine.
He really doesn't need our money.
Yeah. For sure, check us out on legionterrain.com. It's our home store. It is where we focus, and where we do our initial releases of products, too. They always come out there first.
Like the Tropical Planet's not on anywhere other than that store right now.
Yeah, so always go to legionterrain.com. First, we are not
let's email people 14 times a week.
We send out around zero emails a year.
Yeah. Maybe one, if we know there's people waiting on something, I will let kind of the people that signed up, I'll say here, this is what we're doing. And end of the year, we may do a letter, what we did for the year, but that's it. We really don't do the mass marketing thing.
So Black Friday and the way we sell, right? We sell what we have painted on the shelf. We are not taking orders for something that a painter is going to paint for you in 8 or 10 weeks. We sell what we have in hand ready to ship. Black Friday is usually kind of special in that we'll get, you know, 100 orders in a day. That's more than we typically might. So sometimes it takes a minute to process that. So if you order on Black Friday, please be patient with us. We will try to get it out as quick as we can, but it can be a bit overwhelming.
But he is right. We do have it all in stock.
Yep.
I mean, that's sitting on the shelf. If it's in, you know, stock online, it's in stock in real time. We're not going to make it, you know, it takes 3 days to make it, and then we're going to send it to a painter, and that's going to take 3 or 4 days, and then we're going to get it out. And usually, you know, Black Friday withstanding, usually within 2 days, it's in the mail.
Yep. So Black Friday, legionterrain.com. But you can go ahead and look there now. I will say this. Our new tropical set is new, and it it tends to go away pretty quick.
Yeah.
The components in it are hot. People want them. We'll try hard to have some in stock for Black Friday. But if somebody wants to pay full price the week before,
yeah,
we're going to let them.
Yeah. Beautiful. One of our players just got it. So.
Yeah. It's yeah. So that one may be under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
I think one other thing we want to kind of get out there is we're going to be sending you guys a link to a very short five-question survey. Maybe it's people who have listened to the podcast or watched our sweet faces in our Star Wars room. We have a question. And really that question is, what do we do next? You know, I think maybe you guys might have observed the past year or so was a little, you know, the game kind of saw some negative pressure, right, with the slow restock of plastic and everything appearing back in stores. So, you know, we really want to know from folks, is there something we're missing? You know, we spend a lot of time running the shop. We don't get to play as often as we should. Right. But, you know, we'd love to have folks fill out that survey, you know. Do we have any sort of secret prizes for the survey?
I don't know. Maybe we should.
Maybe we should have.
Maybe
a
we should. Prize. Maybe you got to look at the survey to find out.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. So that'll be answered. Yeah. So I'd say, you know, there's going to be an option in there to include your email. You probably don't want to skip that if you're thinking maybe a secret prize might be something you're interested in.
And one thing I want to throw in there as well is your friendly local game store. If you are one of those, we do offer discounts for tournaments and for a game store. If you can basically essentially prove that you're a game store, you know, with an address and the email and all that stuff, then you do get, you know, we're trying to help you guys out, grow the game, and so we will give a discount year round for game stores and tournaments. We do a lot of tournaments with supplying. They buy at a discount rate, and then sometimes we'll just throw in prizes and stuff.
Yeah. If you were a game shop owner and you wanted to buy just one table to put in your window so people would go, oh, what is that game? I need to buy every part they have.
Yeah.
What table would you put in there?
What table would I put right now? That's a good one. I mean, the new Tropical Planet is very, because it's new, it's probably why I'm so fascinated with it. I mean, if I'm selling Star Wars,
the desert,
it's probably going to be desert. But man, our trees, come on, man. The Ewok village.
Yeah, that thing.
When you have all the Ewok, like you have, let's just say you said, I got some money and I'm going to build an Ewok for us. It looks awesome. The ladders, all the bridges, the platforms, everything is like, holy cow, it's an Ewok village. I think we got one piece that's just, and that's another, this is another thing that happens with, you know, our trees are, you can stack different trees and make them different heights. They're not all one thing. They're modular big time. You can pop this thing off, have that, and then you can put a regular trunk on it, or you could put a platform on a regular trunk on it. You know, that's
or
sort
a really
thing.
Low platform.
Yeah,
down here.
Robert was worth his time on this one to cook these things in platforms. We don't have a platform. These little lichens are the connectors. So like you slide it down and you rotate it, and the lichen locks it down. So instead of having like a key, right, it's an actual lichen. So,
yeah, so if you just want a tree, you can just have a tree.
Yeah.
But if you want to drop either the villagers...
The village platform or the occupied, we call it the occupied forest. So it's an imperial platform.
Yeah. I'm going to say that's probably my like subversive favorite, because like those imperial things locked into the trees... Man, do they look cool.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's completely off-universe. It's not something we've seen in anything.
But in our heads, we were kind of like, well, they had to build something.
Right, they're there on this forest.
I mean, they got all this big landing platform thing. They had to build something to fight these things.
So, is there anything else we want to make sure folks know about?
No. Not that I can think
of. If you really want us to email you, I'm very sorry.
We appreciate all the support that we do get. Honestly, at the end of the day, we are just... some of you guys, we are the community. We love playing. We love everything about Legion, and all we're trying to do is just kind of make it cool, it fun.
Yep.
So,
we'll definitely do it well.
I was gonna say, you're doing it well, as Isaac just said, you're doing it well. So thank you so much for your time. Again, we'll have links to everything below. So those that are watching and listening, look in the descriptions. We will have links to the survey. Please do their survey so that way they know what to do. Data is super useful, and so they appreciate that. Also, you know, if you can't be bothered to click that survey link and fill it out, just give us a comment. You know, like, subscribe, do all that stuff. stuff for us as well. But, you know, hey, you know, let's talk about terrain in the comments. There are plenty of great things. And so thank you, Rob and Jason, so much for your time and for doing this. We appreciate it. And if you want to see some of this terrain in action, I know that our Lord and supervisor Evan will be having this on display and while he does his tours video. Whenever that comes out, I know it's not out yet, but he is working on it. So soon you will see some of this terrain in action on this channel here as well. So thank you so much for stopping by and talking to us and being part of this. And you know, you guys have said it yourself that we're here and we're doing it all for the love of the game.
Pretty much, yeah.